Ray Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. Birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
And by Vortex Optics, with the VIP warranty, their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at vortexoptics.com.
And by Brome, where bird feeding meets innovation. Discover truly squirrel-proof bird feeders, all backed by lifetime care commitment. Learn more at brome.com.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to our show, number 980. Well, if you're listening to our show on the 7th of April, or early on the 8th, and if you're in the path that the eclipse will be taking in North America and beyond, you're probably getting ready to experience a solar eclipse, a total eclipse, if you're in that path, stretching from Mazatlan, Mexico, northeast to San Antonio, Texas, and then way up into the northeast and through Nova Scotia and onto Europe. But what effect will the eclipse have on birds? We have a link on our TalkingBirds.com website to a Newsweek article about it that quotes researchers from the Cornell Lab here in the U.S. and Lund University in Sweden. Still a lot of questions about bird behavior in an eclipse, especially migrating birds, and scientists will be watching the eclipse carefully. Cornell researcher Andrew Farnsworth points out in that article that there are 13 radar stations along the eclipse route this time, compared to 8 in the 2017 event. And he says that if there's any significant change in birds' behavior because of the unexpected darkness and accompanying drop in temperatures, we're much more likely to see it during this event. So we'll see. Several of our favorite birding publications have just released new installments. You'd like to give them a shout-out. First is the Wren's Cheer, a newsletter from our friends at Four Rivers Audubon in North Central Florida. It's out, and it's terrific. Find it at fourriversaudubon.org. It's the Wren's Cheer. Here in the Northeast, the new issue of Bird Observer is available online, published in New England, but has fascinating articles reading worth reading, no matter where you are. It's birdobserver.org. And the newest edition of the Great Birding Community e-bulletin, edited by our friends and superstar birders Wayne Peterson and Paul Basich, is out now, too. A Google search is the easiest way to find that, I think. It's free, by the way. It's the Birding Community e-bulletin. And that is our mystery bird. Preview here of the contest coming along a little bit later. It's a medium-sized songbird with an extremely long forked tail, pearl-gray underparts, a whitish head, and salmon-pink coloring on the sides and under the tail. Our bird breeds from eastern Colorado eastward through Missouri and south to Texas and western Louisiana, and winters down into Mexico and south Florida. It feeds mostly on insects, usually by flying out from its perch to nab them in midair. Some clues there in the sound of our bird, and fabulous prizes from our friends at Bird Collective with a $25 gift certificate and a big bag of our favorite coffee. Delicious and shade-grown and bird-friendly Birds and Beans coffee. All on the Mystery Bird Contest, coming along a little bit later on in our show. And here's another royal salute to another member of the royalty here at Talkin' Birds, our Talkin' Birds ambassadors, the folks who help us do what we're trying to do, and that's get the word out about birds and conservation. And we're on a push to get more members in our family by the end of this month of April. We're hoping to raise our family number to 875. People are busy this time of year, so we'll see how we're doing. But if you've ever thought about becoming an ambassador, we hope you'll do it now. Easy to do. Just go to TalkingBirds.com and click on the Get Involved button at the top of the page there. And thank you to Jeremy Nault from Salem, Massachusetts, who's become an ambassador, and he says it's been a long time coming. He said, I finally remembered to get involved and I'm excited to share Talking Birds. And he says, I have to say, one of my favorite features of the show are the live bloopers. Never change anything, says Jeremy. Well, Jeremy, don't wonder. Don't worry. There's one now. Those bloopers will keep coming. Still to come today, we'll talk more about flirting. We'll talk about flirting. That means picking up litter while birding with special guest and proud flirter Jay Keck from the South Carolina Wildlife Federation. We'll also have, you'll hear it in a moment here. In fact, you should have heard it already. This is another one of those bloopers that we were talking about. And it has to do with the fact that we have a couple of Talking Birds audio postcards is what we have there. And there's a bird. Where did that come from? I don't know. So anyway, we have two audio postcards, starting with our own Freya McGregor, who's returned recently from San Diego and the Big Bird Festival out there.
Hey, everybody, it's Freya McGregor here. I am very excited because I've just seen a couple of California gnatcatchers, which are really hard to catch up with. I'm at the San Diego Bird Festival right next to the border, like as in the border is, I don't know, 300 feet away. And someone told us that California gnatcatchers are down here, and so we crept down here and saw some rock wrens and some California towhees and some California thrashers and some bush tits are just coming past, and then a couple of little California gnatcatchers. Very cool. All right, bye.
Thank you, Freya. Well, now, reflecting kind of a theme on today's show, let's check in with our friend, Dr. Jim Randolph, down in Long Beach, Mississippi. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Ray and Talking Birds fans. Today's is not an avian audio postcard, but a flirting audio postcard. I was flirting on my morning walk today when, as I reached to pick up a payday wrapper, a man walking in the opposite direction said, "That's a good idea. I think I'm going to start doing that." One never knows where inspiration is going to come from. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry there are no bird calls in today's postcard. I'm surrounded by two of my favorite species, turkey vultures and black vultures, and they happen not to be making any grunts or hisses at the moment. Happy flirting, everyone.
Happy flirting to you, Jim, and thank you for that audio postcard. We love getting them. All you have to do to make one is get your smartphone or digital device and go out where there are some birds to look at, or maybe payday wrappers to pick up, and make a little recording and send the file to Ray at TalkingBirds.com. Still come today, to come along today, our special guest, Jay Keck from the South Carolina Wildlife Federation. And Mike O'Connor will join us for a live Let's Ask Mike segment about an unusual bird reported, although not necessarily existing, on Cape Cod. And up next, we're traveling far away from North America this week to present today's featured feathered friend. The first time you encountered a snowy egret, you were probably struck by the sight of its bright yellow feet, contrasting with its black legs. Definitely one of those, wait, what, moments. But a sighting of today's featured feathered friend takes that effect up a notch, from struck to maybe thunderstruck. Our bird, also in the Ardidae family, comprising 74 species of herons, egrets, and bitterns, is the black heron. You'll need to be in Africa to see this bird. Its main range is through the eastern half of the continent and Madagascar, with smaller populations through other parts of sub-Saharan Africa. The black heron is slightly smaller than a snowy egret, with a wingspan of about 2 feet. And when it's time to feed on the edges of the freshwater lakes and ponds it inhabits, the black heron turns its wings into an umbrella, tucking its head down, spreading its wings around its body, and creating a kind of sunshade in what's known as canopy feeding. One theory about why the bird does this is that it provides a false shelter for fish looking to hide in the shade created by the heron's wings. The technique might also help the bird see its prey more clearly, as the shadow reduces the glare on the water's surface. It's also thought that the action might help the bird camouflage itself so that fish only see a dark mass above, rather than a predator ready to strike. Some other herons, like the reddish egret, use a variation on this technique, although that bird adds a little dancing to the routine. It's the black-plumaged, black-legged, yellow-footed umbrella feeder, Egretta artesiaca, today's Talkin' Bird's featured feathered friend, the black heron. There we are. Thank you so much. All right. Welcome
again. I just heard how much they love the bloopers, so I figured we'd make a whole
this
highlight
is the
reel
blooper show. Yeah, I forgot. No kidding. All right. We'll make a note to do some more here. It'll be easy. Welcome to our show number 980. Jay Keck is a naturalist and a birder and the industry habitat manager for the South Carolina Wildlife Federation. We're happy to say he's also a Talkin' Bird's proud plurder, picking up litter while birding, and he joins us now to tell us about some plurding style efforts and a few other things he's undertaking in the Columbia, South Carolina area. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, good morning, Ray, and thanks for having me. And listen, since this is the blooper episode, you picked the right guest to be here today. So,
all right, we'll see if you live up to that. So, Jay, we've had guests on from here in Massachusetts and down in Florida, Jim Joyce and John Middleton, talking about their efforts to pick up litter while birding and having groups going out there, birding groups, and then kind of introducing them or getting them involved in the litter pickup thing. But your efforts a little different. You're having these litter sweeps and then introducing people to birding, right?
Yeah. You know, we have classes all over the state, from the mountains, you know, down to the coast, you know, on snakes, dragonflies, butterflies, birds, you know, all sorts of animals here. But we also have litter sweeps, you know, and that kind of brings us an audience that might not be our typical, you know, nature loving audience, but they do want to go out there and pick up litter and make a difference. Mm-hmm. So it gives us the opportunity to talk about, you know, these birds that are, you know, all around us, whether it's an urban area or, you know, a more rural setting. So, you know, if I get a family of, you know, three or four that come to pick up litter and the parents are wanting the kids to do something, you know, impactful and responsible, you know, I get to say, hey, you hear that bird right there? That's a butterbutt. That's a yellow rump warbler. And then I get to tell them why it's called a butterbutt, and they laugh. And then all of a sudden, you know, they know what a warbler is. Yeah. And, you know, I know on the first sweep that we had, where we were recording the birds, we had 18 species. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're busy picking up, you know, a few thousand pieces of trash. And we're also pointing out all these beautiful birds that are here. At that time, it was winter. So it's just a great opportunity for us to show them, you know, this new world that's out there while they're coming to pick up litter.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And I know you have a big litter sweep coming up, and I'll ask you about that in a minute. But just want to ask, what kind of reaction do you typically get when people see you doing these litter pickups? Are they surprised? Do they wonder what the heck's going on? How does that go?
Well, you know, I guess the reaction that I think of, you know, with that question is just, wow, there's a lot of trash.
Yeah.
You know, and it's an unfortunate, you know, thing, but I'm not sure, you know, how it is in your state, but South Carolina has a problem, especially with roadside litter. Mm-hmm. And the area that we will be cleaning up, this will be the fourth sweep that we've had there in the last few years. And people are always amazed by the amount of trash. You know, so I guess that's the reaction that comes to my mind first is just, wow, mm-hmm. there's a lot of trash here. Mm-hmm. And it also gives us the opportunity to tell them, hey, notice the trash on your way home today. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we have great photographs of birds and other animals impacted in our area by trash. You know, we've got a great photograph of a green heron and an anhinga, mm-hmm. with some kind of plastic netting around their bills. And we get to show them that, and we get to talk about that and how this trash that they're picking up, you know, is, well, the trash that's out there, you know, is affecting the wildlife, you know, in our immediate vicinity.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned about plastic netting and, you know, plastic fishing line or monofilament line is certainly a big, big problem. You have a lot of fishing down there, as, in fact, as part of your efforts with the Federation. And so you've created something for anglers, and you've got a name for it. Tell us about that.
Yeah. We just adopted it, you know, for the sportsmen, and we call it plishing. So picking up litter while you're fishing, right? Yes. You know, I grew up as a hunter and a fisherman here in South Carolina, and then, you know, a bird about 11 or 12 years ago changed my life, and that was the Baltimore Oriole that made me pay attention to the smaller things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I if you would have tried to tell me, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago to go plurting, I probably would not have done that. But if you would have said, hey, Jay, there's something else called plishing where you pick up litter. Aren't you upset by all the litter that's in, you know, Lake Murray and the rivers that we have here flowing down to the ocean? I would have said, oh, yeah, that does bother me. And let's do this and let's make it a fun competition across the state. And it's really caught on. This will be the third year that we've had it. And I think we had 12 states actually participate last year. So, you know, to get the not just the butterfly and the bird lovers paying attention to the litter problem, but also the sportsmen paying attention to the litter problem. Mm-hmm. That's a win for us.
Indeed. We don't have much time left, but I wonder if you could just quickly tell us, Jay, about your work as industry habitat manager and how that works.
Sure. So I call on a lot of large corporations in South Carolina. Just to name a couple, you know, Michelin, Bridgestone, BMW are some of our partners. And what my job is to grow that, you know, partnership across the state with other organizations. But I also encourage them to create wildlife habitat on their property. A lot of pollinator gardens go up. A lot of birdhouses, whether that's a bluebird house or a screech owl house or wood duck houses, you know, on their property. Or, you know, bat houses, you know, to even creating brush piles, which obviously, you know, support bird populations, but also other populations of, you know, mammals and reptiles and amphibians, you know, across our state. So there's also educational components to that where they teach their employees. I do a lot of lunch and learns there. And they also engage with their community in some kind of wildlife slash conservation fashion. So my job is to grow that program. And so far, it's been a good 2024 for us.
Sounds like a great effort. So the litter sweep, the big one coming up on April 27th. Tell us a bit of the scope of that and how folks can sign up.
Yeah, simply go to our website. Just go to our events page. Our website is www.scwf.org. Go to the events page and you'll see it there. I think it's under our snake class that's coming up. Uh-huh. Yeah, super simple. You just sign up. And we're meeting right outside of Columbia, South Carolina. It's around 15 minutes, I guess, west of Columbia. And we're birding around this great pond called Archer's Lake. Well, I say we're birding. We're picking up litter and birding, so we're so we're plurting. Around this lake that, you know, in the wintertime has ruddy ducks. It has, you know, some terns. It has gulls. During spring migration, we'll see black pole warblers, yellow warblers, many other, you know, types of warblers. Chances for summer tanagers. Maybe, mm-hmm. if we're lucky, an early scarlet tanager. And, just sign up and come out there and pick up some trash and go birding with us.
All right. Jay Keck is a naturalist and birder and industry habitat manager for South Carolina Wildlife Federation. And if you're listening anywhere around Columbia, South Carolina, and would like to join Jay on that big litter sweep on April 27th, you can find out all the details, as Jay said, on the website scwf.org, or just do a search for South Carolina Wildlife Federation. And again, go to the events page and look for that Archer's Lake litter sweep. Jay, thanks for being with us and for being a proud plurter and for all your good work.
You're welcome, and thank you, Ray. Take care.
And no bloopers in there. That's the only thing you missed.
Hey, I'm sorry. I apologize. Next time.
All right. Jay Keck here on Talkin' Birds. It's our mystery bird contest in just 1 minute.
The flutter of a tail feather, the flash of a wing bar in mid-flight. You don't always have a lot of time to identify a bird in nature, let alone to appreciate its beauty. But with Vortex Optics, you'll have the power to bring every wild moment closer. When you choose Vortex, you're choosing to have a partner in the field as passionate about nature as you are. Whether you're spotting old friends on the backyard feeder or packing for a once-in-a-lifetime trip to add a few species to your life list, Vortex offers a full range of optics and optics accessories for every birder and every budget. And whether the birds are taking you to another state or another country, you're always covered by the Vortex VIP warranty, an unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. If you'd like to learn more, or if you need help choosing your next optic, give Vortex a call at 1-800-4-VORTEX or visit vortexoptics.com.
So in the Ardides 74th. You'll need to be in Africa to see this bird.
What number blooper was that? Do we keep track of that?
Either way, it's a new record.
It is a new record, for sure. When we try to do bloopers, we are really we're really good at it. That's our mystery bird. I hope you could hear some of that. Our mystery bird is a medium-sized songbird with an extremely long forked tail, pearl gray underparts, a whitish head, and salmon pink coloring on the sides and under the tail. Our bird breeds from eastern Colorado, eastward through Missouri, and south to Texas and western Louisiana, and winters down into Mexico and south Florida. It feeds mostly on insects, and usually by flying out from its perch to nab them in midair. That would be our mystery bird. And there it is, mostly uninterrupted. 781-837-4900 is the number to call. That's 781-837-4900, and we have some gorgeous prizes, including a $25 gift certificate for Bird Collective, the one-stop shop for vintage-inspired apparel and unique accessories, all featuring birds. And a big bag of our favorite coffee, shade-grown, bird-friendly, and truly delicious Birds and Beans coffee, grown under the natural forest canopy in Central America to preserve wintering habitat. Well, those warblers we've been talking about, and tanagers, and thrushes, and hummingbirds, more of the birds we all love. That's our mystery bird, 781-837-4900. As always, we urge you to call as soon as possible. Get the right answer and be the winner, or if you're not getting the right answer, you could still be our winner, because we'll do a drawing from among answers received. 781-837-4900, and it's Let's Ask Mike live in just 1 minute.
Welcome to a world where bird feeding is enjoyable for both you and your feathered friends. Introducing Squirrel Buster Bird Feeders by Brome. Our innovative feeders are designed to keep squirrels at bay, ensuring that your garden birds get their fair share. And the best part? We offer lifetime care for every feeder, making your purchase worry-free. Transform your garden into a bird paradise and keep it that way forever. Sorry, squirrels. It's just for the birds this time. Visit brome.com, B-R-O-M-E.com, to discover our full range of Squirrel Buster feeders and join the Brome family today. Brome, where birds come first, and our commitment to you lasts a lifetime.
There's a little blooper right there. Let's go to Mike O'Connor down there in Cape Cod at the famous Birdwatchers General Store. We've been talking about families just now, and it says here something about there's a cuckoo family down there. That doesn't mean to cast aspersions, I'm sure. This has something to do with a bird in the cuckoo family, which is a roadrunner. You have roadrunners on Cape Cod.
Roadrunners, well.
Not exactly.
We do get a lot of calls about odd birds, and some of these calls are, as you say, a little bit cuckoo. And, you know, a lot of times people see a strange bird and they report it, and then a lot of times those sightings pan out, and other times not so much, and this was a not-so-much one. When someone called and had just seen odd tracks in the snow, the person near the Cape Cod Canal, so it's right here in Massachusetts, and swore he saw the bird, and he saw a roadrunner, and has the track pictures to prove it. And, you know, so, you know, sometimes people call these things, and, you know, they don't seem to be happy when I laugh at them, but that's what happened in this case, because, and other people would think, well, what's so funny? Odd birds happen, right? Yeah. I mean, we had that crazy stellar sea eagle come over from Russia or someplace, and that showed up, and that's way out of its range. Why couldn't, you know, a roadrunner get lost? Well, they can't get lost because they don't go far. They're not migrants or strong flyers like a stellar sea eagle or a lot of birds are. These birds can fly, but they can barely fly across the street. So they spend all their time on the ground, and they don't go. As a matter of fact, once they set up a territory, that's where they spend the rest of their lives. They're not migrants, so they don't get lost. They spend the whole time right in a particular area where they live every day. But that doesn't mean they're not fascinating animals. They're really, really cool birds. People who live in the southwestern part of the United States get to see these a lot. And they're called roadrunners because they do. They're the fastest running bird here in North America. They're not nearly as fast as the long-legged birds like emus or rheas or ostriches, but they do move close to 20 miles an hour, which doesn't sound fast, but the average human runs probably 7 or 8 miles an hour, so they're 3 times faster than a human and a lot faster than me right now, so they're pretty cool. Oh, no, I'll be hanging up. He's like, oh, my God. All right, so anyway, so The mystery tracks, after further research, turned out to be belong to a female pheasant. It wasn't a roadrunner after all, so the guy had reason to be confused, but it was a pheasant, which probably just escaped from some hunting place.
Oh, a pheasant, it wasn't a roadrunner. Because I was going to ask you, they run so fast, how long would it take them to get from Arizona to Massachusetts? But I guess that doesn't really...
depends on the traffic. That's all.
Okay, Mike, thanks for being part of the Blooper Show, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
All right, we're back to the Mystery Bird Contest, possibly, and here's the sound of the Mystery Bird. Number to call is 781-837-4900 to tell us what that bird is and to grab those beautiful prizes that we have available for the person with the correct answer. We're just getting some notation sent to us right now. And I thought it was a recap of the bloopers. No, it's our caller from Marshfield, Massachusetts, and that would be Zeke. Good morning, Zeke.
It's actually Saskia.
Oh, it's actually Saskia. Some people call her Zeke, but no, it's Saskia. Sorry. All right, Saskia, what do you say then on the mystery bird there?
I think it's a scissor-tailed flycatcher.
A scissor-tailed flycatcher. Well, yes, it is. Nicely done. Absolutely right. Scissor-tailed flycatcher is correct. Thank you, Saskia. And if you'll stay on the line, Jesse will arrange to send you that prize with very few bloopers associated with it, I'm sure. Thank you so much, Saskia.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Thank you. Is that Zeke?
Yes.
Thank you, Zeke.
We've been listening since the shows were in the double digits.
Oh, my gosh.
Best show you can hear in the States.
That's a long time back. Thank you, Zeke.
Thank you, sir.
All right. That's our mystery bird, the scissor-tailed flycatcher. And with that, we wrap up this morning's show. Thanks for being with us and bearing with us. And please join us again next week.
The Bird Show. I like that. I love that.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. Birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
And by Vortex Optics, with the VIP warranty. Their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at vortexoptics.com.
And by Broom, where bird feeding meets innovation. Discover truly squirrel-proof bird feeders, all backed by lifetime care commitment. Learn more at broom.com.